This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Gentlemen, hour number two of this Memorial Day weekend, and, as I said in opening the program, this is a very somber time, certainly for many, obviously, because it's so deep, it goes back so far, and it seems like every single time there's a major war or conflict, we have to have a new Memorial Day, or a new Veterans Day, or a new Memorializing Day, or a new special day, or a new postage stamp, or something else. And it becomes what it is, a real industry. It becomes a cottage industry. And that's what war is. You know, war is a racket, as General Smedley Butler said many, many, many moons ago on the eve of World War II. Unfortunately, people who have been in the know all of these years, for many years, in my lifetime, and prior to that, in the 20th century, men of vision, men of wisdom, tried to spit against the wind, and it blew right back in their face. You know, it's like trying to shovel manure against the tide, and you can't do it. And this is what happened. And the reason you can't do it, as much as we need to do it, morally, to speak out against injustice and evil and war profiteering that has no legitimate purpose, has no defensive purpose, has no reason to exist except simply because of this powerful global elite synagogue of Satan that must impose war so that it can bring about peace in the end, a fake peace, you know, that the Bible speaks of. There is absolutely no logic to it. There never was logic to it, except for defense, legitimate defense. When someone aggresses you, as has been the case in history, then obviously you have a right and a duty to defend your soil, to defend your turf. But none of that was the case in the previous century, going back to World War I and prior to that in the 1890s and so forth, and the battle for Manila and so on and so forth. You could even say with, to some degree, the wars with Mexico and our southern flank and the Indians as well. But when it came to crossing oceans, which God separated continents and peoples from, then you're getting into a whole new ball game. You're getting into an arena where you know you're going to get into trouble. And that was the case in 1914, right through 1918, when America was dragged into World War I, a war that would see the end of all war and conflict, we were told. All we had to do is just enter into the war and defeat Germany, and we'd be all fine and dandy, and everybody would be happy at the Treaty of Versailles, and we would have an everlasting peace. Well, of course, that was a bill of goods then, and it's a bill of goods now. And it's the same now as it was then, only now it has reached the point of unfortunately diminishing returns to the extreme. There is no more. There is no more appetite for war. And yet, Mr. Trump has announced, because of his bosses, those who control this administration and have always controlled the presidencies and the CFR and the Trilat and so forth commission, have basically played this game of let's go after Iran. It's not Iran, it's Iran. And it's the Islamic Republic of Iran. That is its proper name. So what we have is a lot of nonsensical playing the game in the media once again. Iran did this today, and Iran said that today, and this is that. And it's all malarkey that we saw, the kind of malarkey we saw leading up to the Iraq war when we heard about the weapons of mass destruction and so on and so forth. So if you can fool a sucker once and, you know, you can fool a sucker twice, chances are you can fool them three times. And three times, that's it. You're out. Three strikes, you're out of the old ball game. Well, that's where we are now. People have no appetite for ground war. They have no appetite for any more foreign adventurers because they can't afford it, number one. And number two, they've seen all of these lies. They've seen them come to pass, and that's what they have been, nothing but bold-faced lies. War upon war, war upon war, war upon war. And what came out of it? Nothing but evil. Not democracy, not freedom, not liberty. So that now the Iraqi government, which is originally an installed government by the powers that be, has now basically taken a very antagonistic stand, yes, against this administration's intention to go to war with Iran, again, to try to steer the waters, pardon the pun. But Iran, contrary to what everybody in the media wants us to believe, has not done a single thing to instigate a war with the United States. And by the way, what is the United States doing in the Middle East? Well, it has no business to be in the Middle East. It has no business to have bases in the Middle East. It has no business to have the relationship with NATO, that we've had since the end of World War II. None whatsoever. Except to ingratiate the fortitudes and the platitudes of those who want to build that one world system. That's the only reason. It's constant, perpetual conflict and war for the purpose of creating that omelet. That's the only reason. There is no real enemy in Iran. There is no real enemy, was none in Syria, though they're trying to concoct another one now with another false flag. There was none in Lebanon. The only enemy of all humanity in the world is in the Middle East. And the prophet saw it coming. Jesus identified it. And the apostles understood by the time Jesus had left. They understood more than they ever understood when they were called as disciples. They understood the bad fig tree would have to be planted. And the bad or evil fig tree would be planted in Jerusalem in 1948. Now that could not have happened had there not been a worldwide second war, a war in which it was claimed that 6 million Jews had somehow been exterminated by gas chambers and other means and so on and so forth, and they needed a place of refuge, a place of refuge called Jerusalem, in the middle of the Mohammedan world, in the middle of that part of the region which is the most antagonistic toward them. Made no sense then, makes no sense now, but it does make sense from a biblical perspective, if you understand the role of Lucifer and what he's trying to do. So, going back in time, on these memorial days that we have every year, and we certainly do remember the people that lost. Fortunately, in my family, there were none. I have to be perfectly honest. My father was in World War II, much to his consternation. It helped to kill my grandmother, whom I never met. She died in 1949 on my father's side, because all of their sons, except one or two, went off to war. My father was in the Pacific, and he had nothing but disdain for Roosevelt, and so did his mother, whom I never met, my grandmother. And unfortunately, others didn't come back, but my family all did, and my brother, who was in Vietnam, came back. Again, miraculously, he was in the artillery, of all places. So, you know, his life expectancy wasn't even 5 minutes. So here we are, and we have to give God the glory and the thanks that he preserved us, and he preserved many. Others he did not. Others he took home. And I know many of you have loved ones. But you know what? The main thing is you know that you will see them again. And that's the important thing. You are going to see them again. God promises to resurrect. And hopefully all of them will be in the kingdom in the very end, following the millennium. But most important now is to look back and, you know, who was it that really was the hero in all of these wars? You know, these movies, they make me giggle and laugh, folks. When we hear about this guy's a war hero in this movie and that guy's a war hero in that movie and so on and so forth. And quite frankly, that has always rubbed me the wrong way. I've always said, why is war heroic? And why do people munch on popcorn, kids and so forth, go to a movie theater and go and see people kill each other and bomb them into the smithereens? And not just bomb military installations, but bomb civilians. Now, of course, that is a no-no, supposedly, since World War II. But in World War II, the most savage of wars of all, that was routine, everyday duty, is to take an aircraft and a B-52 bomber and to go over civilian cities and bomb the heck out of them. Literally, bomb them to death. And that's what they did. They did it to children, they did it to women, they did it to mothers and fathers. I remember reading about Jimmy Stewart, the actor, James Stewart, who came home. And they said, they probably never would have seen him make the movies that he made, like It's a Wonderful Life, had he not pulled through from the severe problems and bouts with depression that he had, because he was one of those bombers. And it was a horror show for him to think of what he actually did in war. And others as well. You know, Lou Ayres was the actor who, in World War I, was considered a seditionist, undoubtedly. One who would not go. Errol Flynn was another one. Robin Hood, who knew through all of this stuff it was nothing but hokum pokum nonsense. Serving the rich, serving the wealthy, and the profligate. And basically he too was blacklisted to a large extent, but he wouldn't go along with it. Served time in jail, some of these people, because they would not go into a war they knew was not in the best interest of America. In fact, was in the worst interest of America in the end, because of what actually happened as a result of the war. And I alluded to it with Paul in discussing, you know, this whole business of China, mainland China, what they're taught today. You know, you'll read a column. I just read one the other day in the local rag, and essentially what it said was that, that we saw one war after another war, and then we look to Taiwan today as a great nation, and the new president, his name is Gou, G-O-U, I believe, will be another, you know, Donald Trump type of president. That's all we need, right? Anyway, Paul would be happy. But, you know, what I'm saying is that it's so evident now, folks, when you look, and you look at the people who write these columns and how they're edited by the editor, so as to exclude any logical explanation for anything, such as, how is it that there was a communist China? How is it that it went from mainland China, which was largely free, and then into the hands of two cutthroats, Mao Zedong and Zhou Enlai, who ultimately murdered up to 70 million people? How is it? Did it just happen at the flip of a hat? Did we just lose it on the battlefield? No. The war was deliberate, it was internal, it was treasonous, it was because we had a massive communist espionage group working through the Roosevelt and Truman administrations, running virtually every department of government, as we found out with Thomas Kimmel when we did that show a couple of months ago. Incredible, but also true. All of it is just totally purged from any historical reference today, like it just never existed. And so we had the IPR, the Institute of Pacific Relations, and they were calling Mao Zedong an agrarian reformer, and that Chiang Kai-shek was the most evil, wicked thing on the face of this planet. He was just a robber baron and a land baron and a crooked, no-good so-and-so. Support Mao Zedong, and that's exactly what they did. And George Marshall, then Secretary of State, could disarm 29, was it, or 39 Chinese nationalist divisions who would have prevented Mao Zedong from coming to power and therefore prevented the murder of those 70 million people. See, we don't know that today. We have to look. We have to research. We have to have people such as our programs and others and publishers and, you know, many distinguished scholars who now reveal it. But it's not taught in school, I can tell you that. It isn't taught in school. And so I'd like to begin this segment right now by someone who you probably know in history, my audience does. And his name, by the way, is Charles Lindbergh. Does that name ring a bell? The America First Committee? Let's see if we can begin at the very beginning, Sam, of that segment, that first video. We'll play some audio right now and tell you what he foresaw as coming from World War II.
We cannot allow the natural passions and prejudices of other peoples to lead our country to destruction. The Roosevelt administration is the third powerful group which has been carrying this country toward war. Its members have used the... Its members have used the war emergency to obtain a third presidential term for the first time in American history. They have used the war to add unlimited billions to a debt which was already the highest we have ever known. And they have used the war to justify the restriction of congressional power and the assumption of dictatorial procedures on the part of the president and his appointees. The power of the Roosevelt administration depends upon the maintenance of a wartime emergency. The prestige of the Roosevelt administration depends upon the success of Great Britain, to whom the president attached his political future at a time when most people thought that England and France could easily win the war. The danger of the Roosevelt administration lies in its subterfuge. While its members have promised us peace, they have led us to war, heedless of the platform upon which they were elected. In selecting these three groups as the major agitators for war, I have included only those whose support is essential to the war party. If any of these groups, the British, the Jewish, or the administration, stops agitating for war, I believe there will be little danger of our involvement. I do not believe that any two of them are powerful enough to carry this country to war without the support of the third. And to these three, as I have said, all other groups are of secondary importance. When hostilities commenced in Europe in 1939, it was realized by these groups that the American people had no intention of entering the war. They knew it would be worse than useless to ask us for a declaration of war at that time. But they believed that this country could be enticed into the war in very much the same way that it was enticed into the last one. They planned, first, to prepare the United States for foreign war under the guise of American defense. Second, to involve us in the war step by step without our realization. Third, to create a series of incidents which would force us into the actual conflict. These plans were, of course, to be covered and assisted by the full power of their propaganda. Our theaters soon became filled with plays portraying the glory of war. Newsreels lost all semblance of objectivity. Newspapers and magazines began to lose advertising if they carried anti-war articles. A smear campaign was instituted against individuals who opposed intervention. The terms fifth columnist, traitor, Nazi, anti-Semitic were thrown ceaselessly at anyone who dared to suggest that it was not to the best interests of the United States to enter war.
All right, we can pause here and just to give you a little sample of the late, great Charles Lindbergh, who, as you know, spoke quite eloquently and articulately to a rousing audience in America against entry into World War II, to no avail, simply because of the PNAC document way back then. That was the Pearl Harbor so-called sneak attack. So now we know it's history. Have we learned from history? Many of us have. I'm afraid most have not, and most will not. From generation to generation, it does take another unfortunate mass awakening and education of people to let them know what they need to know to prevent tragedy from occurring again in their own families, in their own homes. Because today, if you volunteer and are not conscripted to go into the service, you know, you have to take responsibility for all your own actions and for what may befall you. And that's the real lesson that should be learned for Memorial Day. Before I go back to the phones and bring Art up, I did want to add to that. Oh, okay, he hasn't? All right, good. So then we have plenty of time. As I was saying, when I opened this segment in this hour, I was thinking in terms of war being heroic. And yet, in my state of thinking right now, what I'm thinking of is something contrary to that, something that would be considered a blasphemy, probably to all those who are war lovers, war profiteers, and warmongers. And that is, where are the anti-war heroes? Many of them are the real heroes. In all of these decades of conflict and war, those whose voices stood alone, you know, voices crying out in the wilderness against these bushwhackers, these Bankster gangsters, where are they? Many of them existed. One of them, of course, was the only woman, the only member of Congress who voted against entry into World War II. And that, of course, was Jeanette Rankin. She cast the only vote against World War II. Can you imagine that? What a lopsided. Can you imagine how powerful the media propaganda was then as well as now? Appealing to bigotry, appealing to hatred of Orientals, of Japanese, and so on and so forth. And still today, you will hear it. Because of Trump being in Japan and meeting with the Prime Minister, the Emperor, as well, of Japan. So the Emperor meets the Emperor here. And some people are taking offense, saying, how dare he do it on this day? They still want to kill the Japanese, folks. They still want to kill those people. They still want to wage a war, even 150 years later. And the Japanese did not attack America first, unfortunately. They don't know history, because history doesn't matter. Logos does not matter. It's not about logos. It's about emotion. It's about feeling. It's about shock value, shock and awe in the mind. It's about psychological warfare. It's about conditioning you to a preconditioned response. It's Pavlovian, isn't it? It's diabolical. And this is all laid at the doorstep of that seed line that Jesus denounced, Cain, from the book of Genesis right through to Revelation. And in her was found the blood of all those shed upon the earth, from righteous Abel to that of Zechariah the prophet. Friends, war is their business. Killing is their business. Terror is their business. The terror tree planted in 1948. All of these things are their bailiwick. And yet they need useful idiots, as Henry Kissinger once said, to do their dirty work. Always the goy killing goy. Always brother killing brother. Needlessly, foolishly, unnecessarily, stupidly, mindlessly, and barbarically. So, that is my point. The anti-war heroes are the ones that I want to hear. Oh, you do hear from the anti-Vietnam warrior. Oh, you do hear from the anti-communist war heroes. But you will never hear, except on very rare occasions, from those who opposed World War I and II. And I can think of a couple of movies and a couple going back to World War I. And I can think of a few actors and a few that did produce a film or two about that, but not beyond that point. Always pro-war, always pro-flag, always pro-freedom and democracy and all of this. So you know whose hand is behind it all. And that's why I say, stay apart from the system. Come out of Babylon. Come out of this relationship of churchianity and stateianity, militarism, statism, and imperialism. They are the roads to destruction for America. And that is what the enemy has in plan. They have laid the trap, and we have willingly gone for the cheese. 1-800-313-9443 is our number, and certainly we'll take your calls. We will take all of our calls today that we have. We just didn't have a little bit of time there with Paul Tepetti on it. And enough time for me to just give my little statement or two, and you can react to it now, and you can also give your point of view. By the way, also another audio clip that's very short. We should play after maybe a few minutes, and that's on Mr. Trump's planning to pardon some notorious war criminals on this weekend. That so far has received almost no mention, negatively speaking. But let me see if I can go to the phones right now, because I think I left behind one of our callers before. And who was that? Bring him up. Okay, I think that was it Jack or Mike? Jack in California, I think. Come on up, whoever you are.
Good morning, Rick. No, I haven't been waiting long, but yes, this is Jack in California. How are
you? Very good, Jack. How are you, Jack?
Doing good. I just want to let you know, I haven't called in a while, but I listen to you every week, and I wanted to acknowledge you for what you're doing. You're speaking the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free, and you're one of the very few that speak the truth like Jesus Christ, and you've taught me a lot, and I try to spread the truth amongst my family and friends, although many aren't receptive to it. I wanted to chime in on today's theme, on this conversation, this lecture that you've been offering just in the last 15 minutes that I've been listening. I think I've shared with you in the past that I'm of Armenian heritage. My
yes.
grandmother experienced the Armenian genocide, and her mother was genocided in the 4 million that they took out.
Now. You just pause here for us, and we'll come right back to you after our break. Folks, support RBN, Rick Adams Uncensored, and we will return with our column.
Yeah. are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The reviews for Xtendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Xtendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Xtendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Xtendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
the New World Order Thought Police are on the run because Rick Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hey, I'm back now with Jack in California. And Jack, yes, please continue to give us your story.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, my grandmother's mother was killed in a genocide, and the Red Cross brought her and her two elder siblings to Providence, Rhode Island, directly to Providence. They didn't go through Ellis Island, and they were reunited with their father. And at the age of 16, 2 years later, my grandmother was married off to my grandfather and sent to Detroit. And I think that traumatic experience of not being around her family in Rhode Island translated to a lot of issues psychologically in my family. My uncle was a merchant marine in World War II, and he had issues with alcoholism throughout his entire life. And my father was a tank mechanic in Frankfurt, Germany at the age of 17, and he came back to Detroit and took his finished his high school diploma, and he got accepted to the Air Force Cadet Corps, which was the OCS Flyboys program before the Air Force Academy essentially started to get kicked off. One of the things my father did for me when I was 17 years old is I was in the garage with him, and he showed me a picture of a bunch of dead soldiers laying in the field. It was very graphic. And he asked me, he posed the question, "Tell me what's patriotic about young men losing their lives." And he paused. And I didn't know what to say, but I eventually learned what he was trying to convey to me. But you had mentioned Henry Kissinger's quote about military men are dumb, stupid animals used to extend foreign policy on behalf of the elite. And
yeah.
I share that with many military men that I come across. And it seems that there's an issue between their ego versus knowing the truth. And many of them shun the truth, and they prefer their egos. They prefer the masculinity of being a Marine, being a veteran. And I ask them, do you know anything about the USS Liberty? What about the veterans that come home with no limbs, or their offspring is deformed from chemical weapons, or the homeless vets around the Veterans Administration hospitals that are on the streets? What is the military in the country doing for them? So I try to wake up a lot of military men here that I'm in Southern California, and I'm very close to Camp Pendleton, the Marine Corps base. Some of them are very humbled, and they know, but they're so tired from being through two tours of duty that they just want to enjoy their lives. Others haven't been in war, and they're very proud about their service.
Well, and that's it. They haven't seen close up what is done and how it's done. And also, there's a reluctance on the part of many to admit guilt, to admit that they were deceived. How can I be deceived by my own government? How can I be lied to by our president, by our Pentagon, by our military? It's got to be the other guy. We don't do no wrong. You know, we're just here as innocent little bystanders. We can't accept that. We can't live that down because we can't face reality. That is part of it as well, you see?
Yes, sir. It's unfortunate. It's very hard to get through to a lot of young men and some women who are tempted to join the military or are very proud of their service. But the fact is, they don't know anything about the USS Liberty. They don't know the truth. When you try to share
you bring up a good point. I'll have to move on quickly, but you make up a good point, and that is that they really don't know very much about anything except whatever they're told by their commanding officers, whatever they're told by the media and Hollywood movies and all of that propaganda, and that is what sinks into them. Now, you tell them, for instance, you tell them, did you know that after World War II, Roosevelt, before he died, excuse me, and Truman wrote off the lives of thousands of American GIs who were taken back to the Soviet Union by Stalin's villains, Stalin's armies. They were taken back to death camp. Did you know that? And we wrote them off. No, I didn't know that. Well, why didn't you know it? Do you think Spielberg is going to tell you that? Do you think they're going to make people aware of just how evil the wars have been? No, because it's cash cow, money in the bank, power. It's all about following the trail of money. And if you don't tell them, then you're guilty. I have to tell them because I think that's my honoring our service people, is to tell them the truth. Don't you think so? Sure it is. The truth hurts, but it is the truth. And if they don't get the truth, others will fall for the next lie. That's the way I look at it.
Yes, sir.
Amen, Jack.
Well, God bless you,
thank
Rick.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Keep your chins up and your prayers. All right, now have next? I'm sorry, Sam, I'm having a little bit of difficulty reading the board today. Do we have Terry? Is it Terry and then Ed? Okay, good. Thank you. All right, Terry, you're next. Come on up, sir.
Just short and sweet, refer to one of the most sagacious people who ever lived, regards to comments and quotes on war, which was Benjamin Franklin. There was never a good war or a bad peace.
Yeah? That's it?
That's it. Of course, he pretty much summed it up. Of course, you know, there's much more to say, volumes and tomes. As you know, the propaganda, the glorification of the war at all costs, no matter what the consequences, right?
Well, you know, and it's always the good wars, as they call them, the good wars.
Sure.
But the real wars that we were allegedly fighting communism, which was created by the United States in World War II, those became the anti-hero wars. You remember that in the 60s and 70s? And, you know, they were the films that took on the heroic Indians battling the evil settlers and the evil cavalry. And then, of course, you had the anti-Vietnam War and the anti-Korean, mostly Vietnam, coming out of Hollywood in the 70s and 80s. But during the war years, World War II, it was nothing but you had to produce communist propaganda films or else. The government controlled the Hollywood studios anyway, you see? All of the studios had to produce propaganda. Walt Disney Studios was under occupation by the U.S. Army. They were under an occupation that they had to produce propaganda cartoons, propaganda films for the war effort. So it was all out dictatorship by Roosevelt in the 1940s. People don't know the dictatorship of America, you see? They don't know that, Terry.
Yeah, and I guess it isn't for the vast majority of people. All their entertainment, they want it to be provided for them, and it just doesn't take any effort to just remain deaf, dumb, blind, and they prefer to be that way.
Unfortunately, yeah, it's easy to be that way, right? To think is a lot harder.
Exactly.
Thank you, sir, for your comments. I appreciate it, short and sweet, you know. We'll move on to the next caller, but you made me think, you know, there's got to be a war. There's got to be a war every 6 years or so, every 5 years, war talk. Reminds me of Frederick March, the actor. Many of you old-timers will know him. He played Christopher Columbus in the 1949 war. That is the Columbus movie, not the war, but the movie of Columbus discovering America. And he said to the Queen, I need to have funds to take this journey to the New World. And she said, do you realize it is a wartime? And what did he say? Frederick March's, I'll never forget this one line. He said, there's always a war. There's always a war. And that's the way it has been. War is an ongoing process. That's what Christopher Columbus allegedly said in that movie. Anyway, so, okay, let me go on to the next caller. 1-800-313-9443 is our number, and our next caller is Ed from Utah. Hello, Ed.
Yes, Rick, before I, good to talk to you again, by the way.
And thank you.
Before I make my comment, yes, and before I make my comment, I just want to commend you for playing the great Charles Lindbergh, the late Charles Lindbergh, that clip. Even for us seasoned readers of the American Free Press, that was astounding. I know all of the things he said, but to hear him, and then to think of how the Congress was so free then that they could either cheer or jeer or do whatever, and many of them, as you heard, cheered and cheered him on. What an amazing contrast to today, where you have all of these Israel firsters sickeningly controlling the seats of Congress. But I just I just had to get that out there. Where I want to go today, Rick,
sure,
just with my comment, the little bit of contrast with Paul Capetti, both are needed voices, you especially. You're in big company, and I'm talking about the hopes on the Trump administration. You're bringing up much truth about it. He does bring up some truth of Trump does stick the Jagger into the golem, or not their golem, but, like an anti-golem. He sticks it into the beast a bit. You have the Jewish-controlled media upset with him. But you're in good company. Jeff Lentz really put me in a mood. I listened to one of his broadcasts recently on the 540 station out of Delta, Utah here. Jeff Lentz and the truth has to be spoken, the full truth, and the whole Sunday school truth. And his angst right now with the president is, and this is where I'm kind of going with it, the efforts of Paul Capetti, of RBN, of myself, all the patriots across the country that hung some hope on Trump, at least to buy some time, whatever. If that border, which right now, this is, as Jeff Lentz said, this is a stark This is the stark contrast with anything that happened under Bill Clinton, George Bush, and even Obama. This migrant illegal alien surge, and these aren't all Mexicans and south of Mexico people. These are people from around the globe, non-whites, that are being catapulted into the country. And Donald Trump himself had to be stopped by liberal Democrats in Florida from moving them into Broward County. Rick, it was one thing for the liberal agenda to advance under a Reagan banner, but this would be the final straw here to bring us down. Every other discussion would be a moot point if they can repeople us within 4 or 5 years with these non-white and in some cases white non-Americans just replacing us. This is where it's at right now. And this could be happening at breakneck speed while people are asleep thinking Donald's got it covered.
Yes, I understand. You're right. You're right on the money. Again, it's who's leading. It isn't the president who leads. It's those who lead the president who lead. That's an important point that I just cannot understand why educated people cannot appreciate that. You can understand it. Some of my listeners who call in understand it, but many cannot. They really think this guy is the real deal. And, you know, Paul and others cling their hopes to him because of his rhetoric. You know, his rhetoric is so nice. The only problem is, as one man wrote, and it was Gary Allen, I guess, who wrote the book Nixon and Nixon's Palace Guard years ago in the 70s. Yeah, if you remember, he said, conservatives get the rhetoric and liberals get the action. And that's exactly what it amounts to, more or less.
One last little thing, and that is, in some ways, Rick, the importance of that rhetoric. That rhetoric, so politically incorrect, he did put on the discussion and rhetoric level, he put free trade back on the chopping block. He put the border as a front and center issue. Whether he lives up to the rhetoric, he has caused movement with even within the neocon ranks amongst us, to where if he doesn't follow through enough on that rhetoric, it may be enough to get a final awakening going. And that might be what Paul is hoping for.
Well, I understand that. I come from a different direction biblically, but I understand the concern and the righteousness on the part of many Americans, because the American who really is the Israelite of God, the real Americans here, they still no freedom in their hearts. They still believe in God, and they still try to please him. And it's only, I think, for their sakes, for our sakes, that he has allowed this to go on so long. But there comes a judgment day, too, you know, and there comes a day of atonement, and we're going to see certain things happen that are, you know, really beyond our control, Ed, you know, and I think that's what we have to
Rick,
look forward to and be prepared in our minds, okay?
Yeah. Right. That's why I financially support and continue to Republic Broadcasting Network, because it supports you. I do, Rick. It supports you, you brave souls out there talking for us and putting the word out. I support the American Free Press newspaper, because that's, you know, if all the lights go out and the internet gets cut off, there's still that newspaper that'll come through the U.S. mails. That's why they want to privatize the U.S. mail, so they can block it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
you know
all
saying.
You do for RBN.
Thank you.
You're one of our best callers, I believe. Very knowledgeable. Thank you again. Okay. Bye-bye now. Well, let me see if I can bring up Mark in Philadelphia now. Mark is next. Hello, Mark. You're on the program.
Hello, Rick. Happy Memorial Day. I want to acknowledge those who served in the Civil War. And one of those was my great-great-grandfather who was in the Battle of the Wilderness, and he was captured, taken prisoner, and was in Andersonville, Georgia. Which many historians, for 11 months. So it's amazing he didn't die. Had he, I wouldn't be here. So I honor my forefathers for that hideous thing called war that they were kind of forced to go into, along with the rest that followed. Let's not forget about the bonus army. And we know about the USS Liberty, about the attack on the USS Liberty, and we know about the World War II, about what happened with Roosevelt and all that, and those scoundrels. But the bonus army, after World War I, those veterans were suffering during the Depression, so they were asking for their pension before before they were supposed to get it. So they camped out in Washington, D.C. And while they were camped out in Washington, D.C., they weren't causing any trouble. They were just camping out and beseeching their representatives to, you know, can you give us a little break here, a little help?
They got shot up.
Meanwhile, and that was Hoover. Now, Hoover, from what I understand, Hoover did instruct his chief of police. I don't know what the title was, but the position was held by Douglas MacArthur.
Yeah.
And he told Douglas MacArthur, you know, keep it calm, but don't go against the veterans. Well, what's one of the first things that Douglas MacArthur did? He went against the veterans, his own fellow veterans, and he attacked them. He burnt their tents, and many died. Now, who was under?
We heard a segment on that years ago, a few years back. The audio of that on the YouTube channel. Yes.
Yeah. And who was under MacArthur? Eisenhower.
Yep.
Eisenhower was under MacArthur. So would they go against their own? Hell yeah. Okay. Just like Bush, George H.W. Bush, he was a war hero, World War II. And did he stand up for the veterans of Gulf War I? No, he didn't. When they came back and they had all these symptoms of basically poisoning.
Oh, wrote them off. Yeah,
wrote them off. So, and then there's this other character, one of the most decorated heroes in the military, Smedley Butler. Smedley Butler said, "War is a racket." Here's an example of how war is a racket. It seems to be quite a profitable venture if you're a subcontractor to the government supplying anything to do with the for the Department of Defense. A Pentagon contractor's 9,400% profit on a half-inch metal pin is challenged. This is Fortune Magazine. Article from May 15th, 2019. So basically, what this company called TransDigm, TransDigm, TransDigm. There was a part. It was a drive pin, half-inch drive pin, that should have cost $46. Well, lo and behold, TransDigm was charging $4,361 for a half-inch pin, half-inch metal pin. So, and we wonder.
An old story. Yeah, we've heard that many times. Those kinds of things. Yes.
Right. Well, and this is recent. So they're still at it, and they're actually.
Of course they are. I mean, business. It's a very profitable industry outside of drugs and prostitution. What else is? You know, that's the way it is.
Yeah. So
that's why you hear all the war talk, all the huffing and puffing on all sides. You know. And the Iranian government knows that, too. It's a game that's being played, okay? They know, the American government knows that if they have a direct war with Iran, it's going to be all over for everybody. It's going to be a disaster. They know that. They don't want that.
And one other thing I wanted to bring to your attention having to do with spiritual freedom, religious freedom, and you probably already know about this, but I come across this person through John B. Wells' program. He's on Late at Night, Caravan to Midnight, and he had on a little over a year ago, he had on somebody named Chaplain Klingenschmidt, and he was a Navy lieutenant.
Yeah, I had Klingenschmidt on my program here on RBN a long time ago. The chaplain, yes. We had his story on. We dealt with it. Sure.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of him, and I hadn't heard of what happened to him, but which happened, I guess, in 05, 06. Where he was
discharged it was over a decade,
military.
About 12, 13, 14 years now. Yes, that's right.
Right. So he was 16. He had 16 years in. So he only, you know, 4 more years, and he would have been able to get a retirement. Right. But they kicked him out. I was like, well, why'd they kick him out? For daring to. Now, there's something big on us, and I'm not into religion, but look, for daring to say the name Jesus during a prayer in the name of Jesus.
Ted Pike was in on that, too. He was bringing that to our attention at first with truthtellers.org at the time. So, yeah, I'm well familiar with it. But, I think it's something that, you know, again, has to be resurrected, the persecution of Christians in the service now. That has not really abated at any point, even now. Look, I have to run, Mark. Thank you for your call.
Okay, sure.
I got to take another call or two.
Sure.
We're almost out of time. Thank you. Barb from Florida. Come on up, Barb. Okay, Barb, are you there? Okay. All right. Yes, what I said. Barb in Florida. All right, bring her up. Okay.
Hi, I'm up. Okay.
Hello. Hello, you're on. You're on. Yes, Barb.
About 20 years ago, I met Dimitri Dudeman. He was brought as a speaker for the Prophecy Club. Lindsay Williams was one of their speakers, and Stan Johnson ran the thing, and his grandson translated for him. Long story short, he spoke about how we were going to be invaded from the south and from the north, and I think major cities as well. I don't remember the details. I might have taken notes at the time, but it's certainly happening now. The other thing I want to mention is asking you what you think of Doug McGregor, the retired Army colonel that Tucker has had on, Tucker Carlson, interviewing him. He wrote a book, Margin of Victory, but he is totally against Bolton, Bolton, Pompeo, and, you know, the whole thing of getting us in, trying to get us into a war.
I didn't see that. I didn't watch it on Fox. Is that you're referring to, Tucker?
Yeah.
No, I didn't catch that, but there is a lot of movement now within the Pentagon by some of the officers and commanders in the field, and they really don't want another troop surge, and they don't want to see more belligerency in that part of the world. You've got the fleet there. You've got all this going on right now, Mac, an incredible presence of military power there in the Straits of Hormuz area, in the Persian Gulf area, and all of it is war talk. It's war bluff, and all of it is because of the synagogue of Satan and what they are telling Mr. Trump to do. They're leading him by the nose. They're telling the Pentagon what they want, and this is what they want, war with the Persian people. And this is totally unnecessary, totally insane, but that's what we're getting every day. See, Trump cannot do anything that would really buck the system, because if he does, he's out. He's gone. He's bonzo. Another deranged shooter, you know? Another right-wing racist reactionary. You know that. You know the script. So they've got it all set up, my friend.
Thanks very much,
Thank you,
Rick.
Barb. Thank you for the emails, too. Thank you very much. All right, I think we have time. Not much, but we have time for one more call from John in Arkansas. John in Arkansas, come on up.
Shalom, Alfred McLean.
Hey, haven't heard from you in a while. Sorry, we haven't had a chance to do the things that you've wanted me to do. I apologize, but I have been swamped with so many things. John, what is it now? What can we do for you?
Rick, I got another possible guest for you, and this one's based in the U.S. You won't have no problem with this one.
What's the name?
I'll send you an email.
All right, send it to me, rick458@cock.net, okay?
Right.
Thank you. All right, thank you, John. We're out of time, unfortunately. Folks, the Deadly Experiment on YouTube, we have two new programs going up very shortly, but I haven't had them in my hand to put them up. So stay tuned, and we get some new subscribers. God willing, we'll see you again next Saturday, same time, same network. Until then, God bless you on Memorial Day, and may Yahweh bless his elect.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.